This call is being recorded.
They're calling it an X-wave, but that's not what it is.
Yeah, it's you know, the way that we were talking about it earlier, it's, for instance, if you look immediately to your left into an open space anywhere in the room that you're in, or look at the wall that's right there, whatever, it is DNA. And it's the same DNA you have inside of you, because this entire plane is made of the same DNA. And so this blossoming is coming from within the DNA of the plane itself. You just happen to be a feature in that plane. And so call it what you will, but what we're going to be doing right here in a second, and you can do it any way you want. If you want to go grab a glass of water or have some alchemy, we'll give you a minute to go ahead and gather what you need. And what we're going to do is just invite some adjusting type energy to make us all as a group more attuned to this, you know, incoming blossoming, or this outcoming blossoming is a better way to put it, because it's that's what it's doing. It's coming out from within, I guess, is the way to put it.
So, Jason, I received my that lumen. I'm probably saying it wrong. That you suggested the last time. This is Inga. Am I supposed to refrigerate that once it's open, or just leave it on the counter?
Oh, I'd say your altar, actually.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't need to be kept cold once it's opened.
Yeah.
As long as it's not in direct sunlight, because sunlight affects fields, and it doesn't like it. So as long as it's in a cool, dry place, like not in your bathroom or moisture and funkiness could decide to take root or something, you're going to want to keep it in a place of honor, just in a cool, dry place.
Yeah, sunlight's an actual chemical, you know, and so it can, I mean, it can spontaneously cause things to come to life.
But it won't affect it because I did put it in the fridge? Sorry.
No.
Okay.
Nope, not at all. All right, well, I'm going to assume everybody's ready. So just get into the open and accepting mode that we always do, where you just relax, just begin breathing through your nose deeply and evenly, and just relax. And instead of me leading through this, relax, go ahead and put your attention on your forehead and your eyes and your jaw and your throat and your chest, and relax every one of those. And then you can just scan the rest of your body. So let's just take a minute in the quiet here and get nice and relaxed together. Okay, if you have water, just cup your hands around it without touching it. And if you have alchemy, maybe what you want to do, it's programming capacity is so diverse that you probably only want to program the dropper you're about to use. And so maybe suck some alchemy up into it, or get a little pile of powder or whatever, and we'll direct it into that, and then that's all you're going to need for this attunement. And then you're that way, of course, you're leaving the rest of the alchemy alone for, you know, other programming needs whenever down the road, such as at the eclipse, as an example. So if you're all open and in acceptance, simply say or think, I accept, and here it comes. Now, even if you had neither alchemy nor water handy, it's just going to go ahead and have an effect on the liquid in your body anyway, and do what it needs to do. And I think that you'll, one way or another, especially those who are quite sensitive to energy, are going to feel how that attunement makes you more aware of this blossoming, and literally how you can just sort of feel it in your body and capture it and use it and of course, relish it and love it and all that. The way that I feel this minute is that feeling. It's absolutely stunning. If this feeling continues to exponentially increase, I don't know what might happen to me or us or whatever, but that really is it. That's all we needed to do tonight was talk a little bit of business and do this attunement. It's available. The recording will be available, and it can be used again and again as an example for, you know, other alchemy doses or glasses of water. And that's about it. If you have any questions or comments, go ahead and unmute yourself and let's get it covered.
Thank you, Jason. This is Dottie.
No problem.
Jason?
Yeah.
This is Donna, and I'm brand new to the group. And in one of your documents, you mentioned clean up your diet. Can you expand on that just a little bit?
Oh, I think it's really just sort of common sense type stuff. You know, I think that, you know, far be it from me, especially, to be any sort of a dietitian or expert of any kind, but for me it's all about frequency. And you know, as you know, there's been that ongoing debate, for example, stop eating animals, you know, among the vegans and things like that, and then, you know, a meat eater might say something to the effect that well, you know, you're slaughtering the plants to eat them, but the difference is that the plants are, you know, their very existence is to be consumed because they are that level of life force. And, you know, that's how we keep our life force topped up and all that. But it's just common sense. You know, if you eat a lot of processed sugar, stuff like that, you probably should knock it out of your intake. Does that make sense?
Okay.
It's really just common sense type stuff. It isn't. You know, I mean, there are times on Earth when, for instance, to eat meat 2,000 years ago actually really blocked the pineal gland. It doesn't do that anymore because we're in so much higher frequency gestalt. And so stuff like that just doesn't have the effect that it used to, if that makes sense.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Jason, this is Denise Weens calling from Hannah, Alberta, Canada.
Hi, Denise.
I was just wanting to know more about portal, the big, large portal you were talking about at Salt Lake, I'm not really sure what that means. I just wanted you to clarify it for me, please.
Well, you know, there are, as you know, all over the planet, there are really different kinds of portals. But let's just give a one example. For instance, like science has recently discovered, which is just crazy since, you know, the ancients knew all of the stuff that science is only now discovering. There are geomagnetic areas that function a little bit like, you know, chakras, and those magnetics are actually in direct contact with the sun. In other words, it's almost like there's no distance. And so, in fact, it's exactly like there's no distance, because that portal is exactly what takes out the distance, meaning it's, if you knew how to go through it, you could, you'd be basically walk out of this place and onto the surface of the sun at the same time, because there's just no distance when those portals are there. And so this is one of those geomagnetic types that's out at the north end of the Great Salt Lake. And it's pretty wild to be in it, especially for those who are, again, sensitive to energy. But it's just a really open, lovely, beautiful feeling. And there's been some pretty fun stories, as an example, where a group of scouts were out there a few years ago, and they were on the old rail bed that was the original rail that met at the Golden Spike, where the Western Railroad met the Eastern Railroad.
Right.
And they heard a train, and, you know, the scoutmaster, despite himself, was, you know, he looked up the tracks, and he's, you know, seeing a light, but there are no tracks. It's just the rail bed. And he's seeing a light, and he's hearing the chug of the steam engine. And so he said to the scout, "Hey, get off the tracks," you know. and, for instance, later that night, you know, in fact, they all just stood there and watched an old steam engine go by. And so it has, you know, that sort of crossover effect. There are many in the UK, for instance, right off the coast of England in the Irish Sea, you have the Isle of Skye and the Isle of Wight and the Isle of Man. They're all in areas like that. They're probably actually left over from Atlantis. And so people, for instance, will actually vacation, I think it's on the Isle of Wight, in order to watch Roman centurions cross the road on horseback. And that's what those portals can kind of do, because they're you know, they function outside the strictures of linear time and all that kind of stuff.
Thank you. That was a big help.
I think maybe another funny little tidbit about that is a story that we were actually talking about earlier today, where some gentlemen were on a walkabout in the moors, I think in the 1800s, and they sort of heard some music, almost as though it was just coming out of the air, and apparently two of them needed to be somewhere, and so the third man just said that he wanted to keep hiking around on the moors. And I guess he crested a hill of some kind and looked down into this little valley, and he saw a troop of, you know, 8 or 10 small people, you know, 3-4 feet tall, very human, skinny, you know, you think you're probably at least familiar with them a little. And they were singing and doing a kind of jig while holding hands and going around in a circle. And in the middle of their circle was a portal. And it wasn't the ground that was, you know, our ground wasn't there. You could look right through it directly into another world. And they wound up, you know, on cue somehow, just all of them just jumped into the portal and it was gone, and the ground was the ground. And And the, you know, the guy was pretty startled and everything, but he didn't know who to tell. And so he wound up going back there later on, and he got busted somehow, I think it was, where, and it was obviously planned so that, you know, it was a story that would descend into, you know, our attention. But they somehow telepathically communicated to him something like this: you wouldn't believe how easy it is to do this. And then they once again created the portal with their singing and their jig, using the tones of their voice and probably, you know, summoning the necessary spirits, because the portal itself is truly an intelligent spirit. And then I guess one or two of them smiled at him, and then they leaped back into the portal and they were gone again. So we've got it in us to do that kind of stuff. We can open portals. We just have not yet learned how to go through them. That covers. Okie dokie. Have fun reading that new document, and you know, let's be in touch.
Actually, I had a question.
Okay.
Jason, it was about the alchemy.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the Helios alchemies where you said that you were advised not to talk about what it can really do, and you might be able to cover it in a conference call or something.
Boy, I don't know.
Which one? Yeah,
you'd have to point me probably right at where I said that so that I can get some context.
It was, I think it might have been either osmium or iridium or something like that.
Well, I wrote those quite a while back. We know that... We know that osmium is way out there stuff, but you know, and it's working on levels that we just plain do not have access to, even though they happen to be levels of us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't know what else it might have been. Maybe we keep it on the chalkboard and address it later, because it'll probably come up somewhere.
Yeah, because it's just to find it again. There's just so much to read, you know, and. Just got to write it down.
I know.
Also, I had another kind of a comment. I don't know if you guys are subscribed to Gaia TV. That it's like one of those, you know, New Age truth-seeking video media.
Isn't that company Gaiam, right? It's spelled Gaia, but it has an M on the end, and they're huge.
Yeah. Gaiam TV.
Huge New Age company.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're major players.
Yeah, and they have this series right now called just like Cosmic Disclosure, and it's pretty much describing about all these ships up there, like this guy that he worked there for 20 years. He came back down. He's like a sensitive type, and one of those secret government stuff that he was allowed to explain. And okay, here's the crazy part. And I want to post actually like a link to this, and I don't mind giving you guys my username to log in and watch it. You know, it's because I'd rather have you see it than not. And so he talks about that the Earth had these beings that came in a long, like 80,000 years ago, and then they just came in and they just like fell asleep or something like. And that it only took 20 minutes. It's really only going to take them 20 minutes to experience like this 80,000 years. I don't know. It sounds kind of like, and it was like only like a few hundred or something. And I was wondering if that correlates or anything like that.
Oh, maybe, you know, the Earth has been visited. I mean, you know, Earth has had civilizations as old as 500 million years. You know, and so it's been visited many times by many people that are so long forgotten that is almost, you know, completely beside the point. You know, it may or may not. Doesn't really matter. I mean, one way or another, they're just us and we're just them, you know.
Jason, this is Denise Weens again.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to know if you would be able to elaborate for me more about Merlin and what he is or it.
It's better if I have a specific question, but I mean, I can maybe give a sort of thumbnail sketch because of, you know, how I perceive things. You know, there's no such thing as a person at all, and therefore, like everybody on this call, you're a symbol, and Merlin is a symbol, a designation, and so that being is a kind of composite of really of many magicians that fit with the, you know, the archetypal mythical level of storytelling. But it doesn't mean that there isn't some, you know, foundation in actual events, such as, you know, maybe King Arthur, which is actually sort of a mispronunciation of what that king was about, who probably really was one of the French kings, the early Gaulish kings, and at that time those kings were magicians. You know, they were practicing alchemists and stuff like that, and they had in their employ their astrologers and magicians and soothsayers and things like that, and so you could say that Merlin would probably be the intelligence within, let's say, 300 or 400 years of court magicians. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you're also saying that we share that consciousness with like that being, right?
Yeah.
And then would that explain why I'm trying to like smelt gold in a microwave? Like, I don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's an alchemy thing. Like, guys, honestly, like, I don't know. This is just the direction I took, and I'm literally trying to smelt gold. I have this sand, you know, I found with somebody, and it's really cool stuff. I was actually going to ask Jason for some advice. I guess it's, you know, the flux when you mix it, or I don't know if you have some secrets to tell me. I don't know. I feel like you have all the answers, so.
You know, not really, but if you went and looked around, you would find out all you needed to know just by getting into a lot of the metallurgy forums, because some of those guys, you know, have 20 years of studying the fluxes, and they'll actually have fluxes that they sell and stuff like that, right?
Oh, okay.
That's who I'd use, you know, if I had to, because the flux that I use just happens to be very standard, and it is a standard flux. You know, if you just keyed into a Google search standard firing flux, you know, you'll get the same recipe I use.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, I got like a basic kit, you know, and it gave me like some standard flux, I guess you can call it. And I guess it's just about experimenting with the sand and getting the best mixture, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Do you have experience doing that? You know, like pulling gold out, like basically like that?
You know, believe it or not, I've actually had great success with transmutational things, but I could never repeat it. And, you know, I know for an example that, and maybe you already know this, but silver in the furnace will lower the melting point of every metal that's in there to its own melting point temperature. That's what makes silver so magical. And that's why, for instance, so many of the Spaniards all over the West, you know, if you find one of their caches, it's as likely as not to be in the form of silver ingots, because all they would do is smelt it right there on the spot and then haul it in a rough form. And you know, that's one of the tricks, is to use silver as a collector. But you know, can't bore everybody on this call with that stuff.
Yeah. next time.
Yeah. Okay. So, anybody else on anything?
Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I'm just wondering why, after the discussion that you posted, etc., there isn't like millions of questions. I mean, it just opened up a whole world. But I'm so new that sometimes I hesitate asking anything. It's like, I feel maybe you know something I don't know, or you also, is this just like, oh, okay, just another thing Jason wrote. Oh, well, you know. I just feel like it has great magnitude. When I woke up on Monday morning, I just had this feeling that, oh, I really need to prepare myself now. I need to, as serious as I am, I need to be more serious about this and get those sessions done. And I was real devoted. And then, of course, after reading what you wrote, I mean, I knew that I must have picked it up.
Right.
So can you tell us more about, you know, how we can prepare? Obviously, going on with the ABS training and anything else?
Well, you know, I think that the document that I'm working on that I hope to make very clear what we're doing, how we're doing it, how the alchemy interlaces with it, and then probably just a fairly loose list of the daily to-dos kind of thing, right? And all it's really going to be about is just keep your thoughts clean. And if you can't do that, take your thoughts up in white flames. And that's the most important thing there is. And, you know, and drink clean water and eat clean food and you know, and keep your life force topped up with the practices that you'll see in the mastery section and, you know, and stuff like that. It's pretty straightforward stuff. And really everything we're doing is kind of about that. You know what I mean? It's almost like saying your preparation just happens to be being involved in us.
I see. That explains. Just do what I've been doing. Just keep doing it.
yeah. Really. That's
and you're going, about it. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey Jason, why is it showing you in New York City?
For whatever reason, I decided I needed to get more security on all of my communications, and so it actually will mask my IP address so that I can't be tracked.
Cool.
So, do you recommend anything for us? You know, because we're looking up things and information that's probably, you know, I don't know, looked at.
You know, I am by no means a paranoid type. You know what I mean? It's like this world is so completely fake to me that I can't think in those terms at all. But I was. I was just sort of prompted to do it, and I really don't know why, and I don't care, you know, and so just followed the prompting. But it's easy to do, you know. It's a company out there called Disconnect, and their website is disconnect.me, and they, for instance, were banned by Google on Google phones in their app store because what? Because Google does more tracking than any, you know, by far. And, you know, for instance, you can land on Google-sponsored sites and watch the request counter, you know, literally go to 100 tracking devices trying to track you. And
yeah, it's insane.
Disconnect.me just blocks them all.
Okay, thanks.
that about do us?
Yes, sir.
Sounds good. Hey, thanks for your hard work, guys. We appreciate that.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, I think that once you get in and read the Ascension of Gaia document, you'll get a whole new level of understanding of how this group has been used, basically without knowing it, and in ways that are really powerful in the preparation of the group itself, and that we really are a portal and all that kind of stuff. I think you'll really enjoy it. All right.
I think so. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks a ton.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, all.
Love to everyone. Good night.
Good night.